The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled to Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." As they were going, they were cleansed. And one of them, realizing he had been healed, returned, glorifying God in a loud voice. And he fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? Has none but this foreigner returned to give thanks to God?" Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord. To us, Jesus' healing of these lepers, or the healing of Naaman the Syrian in the first reading, seemed like a relatively normal healing, at least as far as healings go, according to Jesus. If someone is sick, they have this thing that's not good, and Jesus shows up and he heals them. But this miracle in particular is unique. There's a lot of people involved. It's pretty rare that Jesus heals 10 people all at once. But also the very thing that afflicts them, this leprosy, isn't just a sickness that makes it harder for them to live. It's not just a sickness that kind of shows that they've done something wrong or anything like that. But it's a sin that keeps them from entering the temple. Now, to us, that might sound like that means that everyone knows that they're a bad person or they've done something morally wrong, but that's not how they saw being ritually unclean. Just that anything in the Old Testament, anything that reminded them of death, could not be close to God. Because God, as the giver of life, as the source of all creation that gives life, could not have anything associated with death enter into the temple. That's really what the ritual uncleanness was about. It was about touching or being associated with anything close to death or decay. And so because leprosy was quite literally just these sores on your skin, this dead skin being visibly displayed, that those people could not enter the temple. Again, not because they were bad people, they were sinful or something like that, but it was just a visible reminder of this death and decay. And so when Jesus heals them, it's not only about fixing their problem. It's not only about getting rid of their illness or the thing that makes their life more difficult. It's also getting rid of this visible attachment to death and decay, that they become made new. They can actually experience the fullness of life having been healed of this leprosy. I think that's really important for us to understand, because it can be easy to read this gospel or to hear this story and to think, well, I guess Jesus wants us to be very polite people, and so we should always ask please and thank you. And only one of these 10 people said thank you. How sad. I certainly think the Lord wants us to be thankful. I don't think that's lost in this gospel, but if that's the only way we read it, I think we're missing a lot more to what Jesus is showing us. That he does want us to be thankful, but especially to realize the ways he frees us also from sin and death and decay. That we may not have visible proof of that, like leprosy or something else that physically afflicts us, but he does want to heal us of anything deadly that would keep us from God's presence. And that as soon as we notice that, we're called, like the Samaritan, to come back and to thank God. Not just as a nice, kind gesture, but because that becomes the seed of faith for this foreigner. And at the end, Jesus, "Stand up and go, your faith has saved you." This gratitude for the healing that Jesus gives him leads him to trust in God, our Father. leads him even as a Samaritan to be able to trust in this God of the Israelites, to trust that he's not condemned and always stuck in sin and decay, as it looked like with his leprosy, but he's actually called into life, called into this life of faith, this life of gratitude, but also a life of relationship with others. So if we're not afflicted with leprosy or some other physical ailment that leads us to that, what could be our leprosy? What is the thing that Jesus wants to heal us of? I actually think the deadly sins are a good image for us to use. To think of those sins as things that aren't just deadly because they're the worst ones, but they're deadly because they cannot be in the presence of God. Much like the Israelites saw death and decay as the thing opposed to the God of life, the deadly sins of anger or wrath, gluttony, lust, greed, sinful pride or arrogance, sloth. Those things aren't just the worst sins, but they're things that cannot be in the presence of God. They cannot be close to the Lord of life. Brothers and sisters, I would encourage each of you just to reflect on those deadly sins and say, Lord, maybe how are those present in my life right now? But I think more importantly, how have I already been healed of some of those things? Maybe not perfectly healed and not totally overcome all of those sins. But how can I think of a time that I struggled with greed or envy or jealousy? And that by actually bringing it to the Lord, by actually crying out to Jesus, Jesus, Master, have pity on me. How have I experienced the healing from those deadly things, like the lepers in today's gospel? Because I would hope that when we realize our own healings, it gives us gratitude to God. We're allowed to give him thanks, as the Samaritan does. To give him thanks, as I would argue the other nine do by going to the temple and offering sacrifice through the priests. But also we can realize that it's not just about God fixing something in the past. Because after this moment of healing, the lives of the lepers are changed dramatically. You're like, sure, they don't have leprosy anymore. That's good. Step one. But they're also able to, like I said, go into the temple, probably for the first time in their lives. Not the first time in decades. But they also are able to live in relationship with others. Because the thing that's different in leprosy from any other ailment, it's not that it only afflicts you sometimes and other times it's not really there. It's not just that it's something you deal with kind of privately that nobody else has to worry about. But you literally have to make sure you're not getting close to anyone else. That you're not spreading the leprosy. You're essentially quarantined from all of the rest of society. So it's really a very isolating existence. That in the moment that they reach out to Jesus asking for his help and his healing, they're no longer set off to the side. They're no longer isolated by themselves as lepers, but they're brought into relationship with others. First, because Jesus acknowledges them and loves them, and then after they're healed of their leprosy, because they don't have to worry about making others unclean or spreading this deadly disease. Brothers and sisters, I think that's actually a key to understanding what Jesus wants to do for us spiritually. That when he gets rid of our deadly sins, when he helps heal us of those attachments to deadly things, he's not just getting rid of something bad. He also wants to lead us to better relationships with others. That like those that were healed of leprosy, our own deadly sins often lead us to a great sense of isolation. Something that we can't share with others, that we're unworthy or that we're maybe embarrassed by. But when those things are healed, it's meant to help us to love others better. And instead of a sense of envy and jealousy for our neighbor, we can maybe notice the good things that they have and recognize the good things we have that they don't have. And being grateful for them and maybe desiring other things, physical things, relationships they have, whatever it might be. But we can desire those in a holy way, not in a way that leads to isolation and fractured relationships, but leads to a more generous love. That rather than giving in to physical desires of gluttony or sloth or lust, Instead of focusing on our own desires, we can see the needs and wants of others. Again, leading us not just to do good things, but to actually have a heart that loves more generously. A heart that is always in relationship to others. Actually, I think that's what Pope Leo is encouraging us to do with his first apostolic exhortation. Just released it this last week about having a heart for the poor. And he certainly sets out ways that we can help the poor in the world and those around us. But he comes back over and over again to the fact that we have to have a heart for the poor. But the most important thing of being like Christ is not to fix other people's problems, but it's to see them as equals, to see them as people we can love, to see people that we can be in relation with, not to be isolated in our sinfulness or our own wants, but to have a heart that's open to relationship with all of God's children. I think that's a good call for us, and in some ways, much more difficult than just trying to fix the problem immediately in front of us. Brothers and sisters, let us pray today that we can notice the way that God has healed us, much like he healed the lepers, and especially the Samaritan leper, that we too can use that as a source of gratitude and a source of faith. That our deadly sins won't lead us more into ourselves, won't lead us more towards isolation and selfishness. But instead, by bringing them to the Lord and being healed of them, we can be led to more generous love, to have a heart for the poor and those around us, to live not isolated in our own deadliness, but instead live always in relationship with others, leading to the joyful life of heaven, where we can be in relationship with God and all his saints forever.